Hello, everyone, and welcome to the State of the Gamecocks podcast. My name is Brooks Davis, joined alongside by my co-host, Drew Bonds. Drew, how you doing?
I'm doing very good. I don't know how you couldn't be after the last three games we've gotten to watch this team play football. Another huge win, 54 to, what was it, 16, I believe, is what, I'm sorry, 54 to 13, I think is what Mexico State wound up with. Either way, it was a shellacking at home against Aggies, which is what we expected. But again, they had, you know, Rich Rod spoke pregame. If you get to watch on ESPN2, he spoke to the reporter and he said, you know, they've had 4.5 days off is what basically Jackson had after that Kennesaw game. He had a Friday Wednesday turnaround, so not a lot of time to prepare. New Mexico State had 11 days off, had a bye week coming into this, so to watch them come out and play dominating football when they've had, you know, less, you know, a week less to prepare than another team, even though it's a bad football team. You know, they had a really long travel to get to Jacksonville. Either way, it was really refreshing to see them start good and end good. I know it wasn't perfect from a penalty standpoint. We'll talk about that a little bit later, a little bit of undisciplined there towards the end of the first half. But overall, it was a really, really impressive day and a lot of exciting things to talk about with this team going forward the rest of their season. Again, like we said, after the Eastern Michigan fiasco, we said, you know, everything this team wants to do is still in front of them. They've got to get right. They can rattle off 4 wins in a row and then go to Lynchburg and play their best football. And right now, the Middle Tennessee State game here in about 13 days will be that 4th win in a row we expect. And then that Lynchburg game on October 30th will be the biggest one of the year up to that point. But Brooks, what are your New Mexico State thoughts? We'll dive into all the stats and stuff here in a minute. But overall, just really, really happy where the team's at right now.
Yeah, like you said, we'll get into numbers and figures here in a minute, but just kind of a quick reaction. It was just New Mexico State jumped out early 3-0, and then after that, it was good night, Irene. Everything that we were doing was right. There was a couple deep balls up through. Some should have been caught. Some were a little bit overthrown, but you know. Other than that, Tyler Huff played a near perfect game. It was cool to see some names that, you know, we hadn't really gotten to see a ton of, or at least in the stat sheet, we hadn't gotten to see a ton of this year. Get some good playing time. Putting up some big numbers, notably. On the offense, Andrew Paul and Logan Smothers. Andrew Paul had came in throughout this year, had gotten a carry here and there in the game, but never just really, you know, never just got the workload that that Trey Stewart or even Anwar Lewis, who kind of disappeared tonight. I don't know if he only had one carry, but I don't know if he got an injury on that play or, you know, what the deal with that was. But either way, Andrew Paul getting to show up, had 11 carries for 68 yards and a really impressive touchdown, 28-yard touchdown early in the second. I believe he had it in the second quarter. And then Logan Smothers, I'll talk more about him, but, you know, getting to play a good bit again in the second half, and it was because it was garbage time, yes, but still, I'll be danged if he didn't come in and make the most of his time and, you know, show everybody that he's still a stud quarterback with a good athletic quarterback. He only had 2 carries, but one of them was a 72-yard sprint for a touchdown. You know, good to see him, you know, really looking healthy and looking like the athletic quarterback that, you know, we saw him produce for us last year. So good to see guys like that. on defense, it was kind of the same thing. We saw a little bit more Zachariah Poyser, Lita Hale, but we also saw some names that, you know, again, hadn't shown up just a ton. In the stat sheet, T. Denson, most notably, he was the leader on the team in tackles. Juwan Campbell had an outstanding game last night. Ricky Samuel looked pretty good. and the list goes on. But overall, just a you know, said it on the Twitter. It's a great day to be a Gamecock. Things are really, really turning around for this team after, you know, if you would have told me after we started off 0-3 that we are now favorites to win, according to ESPN anyways, we are now favorites percentage-wise to win the rest of our schedule. I would have told you you were full of it. I would have told you that we're going to be lucky to win 3 games this year, much less. And maybe that's just the pessimistic in me, but we're going to be lucky to win 3 games this year, much less, you know, win out our schedule or have a good shot to win out our schedule. And the way the conference is developed over these last few weeks, it's looking, my confidence is growing more and more and more. So just overall great night, dominating night. And, we finally got to another win in the AKC helmets at, this time at home. So that was, it was cool to see.
Yeah, first win at home for those helmets, which is good. And they're you know, 2 in a row in them now. So we'll see when they take them back off. Not sure what they'll wear. I would kind of imagine that you'd see the black against Middle Tennessee State at home next. That would be my guess. So. But we'll see. Like you said, both sides of the football dominated. Tyler Huff, 11 for 18, 196 and 2 touchdowns. He added another 58 on the ground and a score. Thought the Mexico State defense did a decent job of containing him running the football. Trey Stewart, they did not contain very well, but I thought they did a decent job of containing Tyler Huff. It seemed like the handoff on the read option was much more prolific for the Jack State offense than the keepers, kind of the opposite of what we saw against Kennesaw, the opposite of that. Beyond that, Huff played, again, really, really well. Trey Stewart, now 3rd in the country in rushing touchdowns with 10. He's tied with that position with 4 other guys. And just to put it into context, he's tied for 3rd in the country with 10. The leader has 16. If you haven't heard of Ashton Genty, please go watch a highlight reel. He is going to be the Heisman Trophy winner at Boise State. But either way, Trey Stewart having just an unbelievable, you know, last 3 games. And we expect that to continue for the rest of the year. With his nose for the end zone is certainly something to get you excited. And you said Andrew Paul and Logan Smothers, good to see those two have good second half, especially Logan Smothers, who's, I think at this point we can kind of say he's lost the job for certain, probably has for several weeks now to Tyler Huff, but I know he's been banged up, like you said. Nice to see him get some playing time, have a big play for a touchdown. And then Andrew Paul, like we said, he's been the 3rd back all year. At times he's been the 4th back. We've seen Mike Franklin more than Andrew Paul, I think. So good to see him get some real playing time. Had 11 carries, 68 yards and a touchdown, kind of his coming out party. And I still think he's a caliber of back that he was at Georgia. I think he still has potential to be the back of the future. You know, Trey Stewart's a senior, Anwar's a senior. It should be the Andrew Paul, Mike Franklin show next year. I know we've got Andre Devine and Justice Savage as redshirting this year as freshmen that are going to compete for time next year. But we'll see. It should be a pretty good, pretty fun running back battle for playing time next year, just like we've seen this year. And Trey Stewart has certainly taken it and ran. Beyond that, Petway had a long catch, 54 yards early in the first quarter. Cam Vaughn caught 2 balls for 43. Trey Stewart, his 3rd touchdown was a 32-yard catch. And then Flip had 2 catches for 25. Jacob Barrick had a catch for 15. Sean Brown had a catch for 8. A couple more guys on there with short catches. Brock Recksteiner added a touchdown catch in the second half. And then his celebration was all over Twitter. Looked just like his dad's old WWE celebration. That was really, really cool for Brock there. But like I said, able to spread the ball around to different receivers. I will say Michael Petway dropped what was Tyler Huff's best throw of the year early in the first half. Ended up in a punt on that drive. Nothing, not throwing shade at Michael Petway by any stretch, but just wanted to say, Logan Smothers threw a really, really good ball. It would have been a 50-yard touchdown or so in a double coverage, and Petway couldn't bring it in. But I just wanted to throw that in there, that Huff's numbers would have looked just a little bit better had Petway had brought that in. So we'll move on to our stars of the game. Brooks, you can go first if you want to there, and our, we'll give the fan star, and then we'll give our two.
Sorry, this is bad on my part. I don't have the fan star. Okay, here we go. Yeah, we'll start off with the fans. They went with Trey Stewart, and yeah, I think this is certainly well deserved. He was the star of the night for sure. 21 carries for 118 yards and two touchdowns. The guy has just become, you know, phenomenal. He is he's the leader in the conference in rushing touchdowns, and third overall, or third in rushing yards, only to Quentin Cooley of Liberty and our very own Tyler Huff. He moved up last week. Like I kind of said, I said last week in the Kennesaw game, or after the Kennesaw game, that Tyler Huff and Trey Stewart were having kind of a competition on who can have the most numbers. And they're I'll be danged if they aren't, you know, pretty neck and neck, besides touchdowns. But nonetheless, a phenomenal night for him. You said before we got started, thank God for Limestone College or Limestone University, for, blessing us with Trey Stewart. What we're seeing from him is just it's bordering the, you know, it's something we haven't seen from a Jack State running back since probably Buster Pope.
Since Buster was here.
I can't think of another running back that's had the year so far that he's having, and that's certainly the first one that comes to mind. Offense on the coaching staff now, by the way, Tremaine Pope. So that is the fan star of the week. I think I'm going to cheat this week on who I give my. I was just going to give it to Logan Smothers, but maybe I've been hyping up Andrew Paul all year, saying that this kid's going to be good if we can just keep getting him the ball. And last night we certainly did. So I'm gonna split. Logan Smothers gets half a star, and Andrew Paul gets half a star. Smothers, I'll start off with Smothers. Smothers, you know, again, we saw the quarterback that he is last year, or just how talented a quarterback he is last year. Little iffy on his decision making throwing, yes, but overall, he's got a rocket for an arm. He can do a lot of what Tyler Huff is doing. You know, take off, lower his shoulder, not afraid to take, you know, get his hands dirty and take a hit. And you know, he was the starter against Coastal Carolina. He was the guy. You know, he had the experience under his belt from last year. He's the reason we won several games last year. A big part in winning the bowl game, and for him to get, you know, banged up and, you know, and now finding himself behind Tyler Huff, who is just setting Jacksonville, Alabama on fire with his feet. Oh, goodness.
I don't know what he's angry at.
Oh. Anyways, moving on. Logan Smothers, for him to, you know, get a little bit of bad luck with the injury, and then Tyler Huff becoming, you know, still showing us that, like I said earlier, he is the athlete that we saw last year. He, you know, just with probably the most electric play of the night, one of them with a 73-yard touchdown. You know, kind of reminding everybody, hey, I'm still Logan Smothers. I'm still an athlete. You know, so it was good to see him again. Good to see him do well. And then Andrew Paul, like I said, I've been hyping it up for a while now. And I think, you know, while we're not seeing a ton of him right now before last night, I think that, you know, with Trey Stewart and Anwar graduating after this year, I think that, I think he's going to come in. He should be. Of course, we're getting Ron Wiggins back. But after, you know, he's missing this year with injury. probably going to still be lingering a little bit next year. I fully expect Andrew Paul to be our starting running back next year, and I think he's going to put up some big numbers. I think we're going to see a lot more of what we saw tonight, maybe a little bit more, or saw last night. 11 carries for 68 yards and a touchdown, and had a big 28-yard touchdown run in the first half. And I just the kid got recruited to Georgia for a reason, and I think he's you know, while we may not see performances last night or like last night a ton more times this year, just because, you know, with Anwar and Mike Frank, we really do have a loaded running back room. So it's after Trey Stewart, it's going to get a little crowded. But come next year, you know, just keep being patient with Andrew Paul. Come next year, he's going to be a, like I said, I think he's going to be our starter. And I think we could see, you know, very similar to what we're seeing with Trey Stewart this year. So those are my, I'm splitting. Trey Stewart gets half a star. Andrew Parker gets half a star.
All right, for my star, I'm going to go with Juwan Campbell. I think he kind of sparked the – I don't know if you can say that there was a turning point in a game that ended 56 or 54 to 13, but if there was, I think he was the spark, especially for the defense tonight. Had, let's see, what is it, 4.5 total tackles. 2.5 of those were 4 total tackles, 2.5 for loss. Had the sack. It forced a fumble that J-Rock recovered there close into the first half. And, of course, before that, had that big stop in the end zone for the safety on the – what should have been the second safety for the defense of the night. They missed a tackle in the end zone the first time Jack Dawson pinned Mexico State. And then Juwan Campbell cleaned up the second time that Jack Dawson pinned Mexico State inside the 2-yard line. So I think he was a really big piece for the defense. And, yeah, if – You wouldn't remember looking back, but Jack State punted on 2 of their first 3 drives, or I should say missed a field goal, and then punted on 2 of their through their first 4 drives, I guess. And Juwan Campbell getting a safety and forcing that strip sack at the end of the first half was a big part of the reason this game was 33-7 and not, you know, 21-7 or 28-7, which again is still a score that's well in Jack State's favor. But this game was way out of reach in the first half, and a big reason was Juwan Campbell was causing all kind of issues for the Aggie offense, forcing the safety, forcing the strip sack that J-Rock recovered. The fourth down stop in the second half, Juwan Campbell was one of many Gamecocks over there. I thought he played a really good game on the line tonight, and he gets my star for sure. And beyond that, That's pretty much the wrap up for New Mexico State. It was, like we said, a shellacking at home against the Aggies, and we expect a lot of the same against Middle Tennessee State here in a few weeks. But moving on, we've got some unfortunate injury news from the game. We'll cover that now while we're still on the topic. But Brock Roby, who was injured against Kennesaw, was for whatever reason questionable. Again, Rich Rod and the way that the staff works in injuries, we don't learn a lot about injuries until, you know, the game's going on or after the game. And Brock Roby was, for whatever reason, questionable before going in tonight, but it looks like it's much worse than what was originally thought. He's seems to be out for the season, or I think it's likely out for the season right now. So that's your starting center. That is not something you like to see. And from what I understand, there's a couple of guys that could play that backup role at center for the Jack State offense. We'll kind of have to see which one takes and runs with it. But Brock Roby, unfortunately, looks like he's out for the season. But good news, injury front, Clay Webb, who was injured in the first half, and I think everybody held their breath for about a half an hour when we didn't know any news about him. Thomas Ashworth posted, he limped off the field late in the first half on what was a touchdown drive. And then he went to the locker room before the halftime, and then he came out with his team second half and played the rest of the game. So really happy about that. But again, very unfortunate about Brock Roby. Reginald Hughes also injured late in the game in the second half, but he seemed walk off the field under his own power. He was never left the field, had his pads on post-game walking around. I think he's going to be okay. But some big pieces Brocker being the main one that's going to be done for the year. But big pieces that, you know, I know we're playing football, but you never like to see your you know, best offensive lineman, best linebacker, both left with injury at some point in the game is a little scary. I will say, seem to do, I don't want to say a better job of not coaching the football team, but the starters were out of the game a lot earlier than they were last week, which made me feel better. I know it made you feel better, Brooks. Tyler Huff played till about midway through the third quarter. I think that's when the starting offensive line got pulled. Most of the starting defense was out, was out by the end of the third quarter. So getting some guys some rest. I know in a 4.5-day turnaround is part of that, but I'm still of the opinion that if you're up by 40, man, pull out your ones. I mean, Tyler Huff gets hurt in a Tyler Huff gets hurt in the 54-6 game. It looks bad. Same with Clay Webb. Same with Reginald Hughes that we saw go off with injury. Not that we don't need to get guys work, and you know, the more playing time we can get, the better we're going to be. But to go beat Sam Houston and Western Kentucky, I think this team needs to be healthy. And for right now, they are, besides center position. But we expect, you know, we don't expect this to be the last time Jack State's up by 40 points in a game. Middle Tennessee State's getting beat by 20 on TV right now. And that's they come to Jacksonville here in 2 weeks. We have an off week before that. We expect that game to look a lot like the New Mexico State game just did. So, again, it's going to be a game that, you know, hopefully you only see Tyler Huff for about 2.5 quarters. There's something to keep an eye on. I know Rich Rod's a little bit more aggressive with his starters than some coaches are, but just something to keep an eye on with how much they're playing and taking hits, especially Tyler Huff, who just refuses to slide. Anyway, we'll move on from the injury front. We wish Brock Ruby the best in his recovery.
Real quick, I was going to in Thomas in Ashworth's article, he said sophomore Davian Harley was who started in place of Roby, and I'm gonna assume that's who we can expect a 6'2", 305-pound center from Havana, Florida. I'm gonna assume that's who we can expect to start the rest of the season. I'll be honest. When you watch a game live, it's a little bit harder to it actually, to me anyways, it's a little bit harder to pay attention to the offensive line. What I could tell, like you said, New Mexico State did a better job of containing containing Tyler Huff, but they never really got to him. Trying to think, they only had only one sack all night. But you know, still, it didn't look like we lost a ton. You know, losing Clay Webb early. You know, that was kind of a holding your breath moment. But and that was the one thing that I was worried about with this game. I fully expected us to come in and take. I really did fully expect us to come in and take care of business, very similar to what we did against Kennesaw. But the fact that we're playing two games in 5 days. You know, I'm going to assume this is how it went. We played Friday, got Saturday off, probably did like walk through, you know, in shorts on Sunday, and then full go on Monday and Tuesday. You know, that's a lot on your body, especially at this level of football. So that was, I was afraid, you know, as long as we could get away with as few injuries as possible, then, you know, That was the big concern, and of course, we lost Brock Roby against Kennesaw, but other than that, looks like we did a pretty good job of it. We did have a lot of New Mexico State players get hurt, but brand new turf, you're going to have that. But it was good to, like I said, other than when Clay Webb went out for a little bit, it was good to see we got away from this game playing two games in 5 days, essentially, injury free. And that's a problem you run into playing these midweek games, at least the first couple. But it's good that we have another off week, to get healthy. So yeah, we'll, move on from that. Want to go into some conference updates?
Yeah, some games going on right now, but I think both of those games are pretty much already decided, so we can at least tell you who's going to win those games. But we'll start with Tuesday night. Liberty beats FIU 31-24 in overtime. And if you know the the Aaron Paul playing Jesse Pinkman meme where you can't keep getting away with this, they can't keep getting away with this. Liberty's 5-0. They just shouldn't be. This is not a 5-0 football team. They played a very weak schedule. And again, this was a little bit different than what we've seen from them. Normally they start out really slow and let the and then have to come back and win it late. This was kind of the opposite of that, to where they were up 24-10 in the fourth quarter. I know that's not a huge margin, especially against an FIU team who is 2-4, but up 24-10 in the fourth quarter, and they let FIU score two touchdowns in the last 7 minutes and force overtime. They were able to win in overtime 31-24 to improve to 5-0. But this might be the fourth best team in the conference behind Jacksonville State, Sam Houston, and Western Kentucky. I don't think that this football team is going to finish, certainly not at 12-0. I don't think they're going to finish it at 10-2, 11-1. I think that they're going to be losers to Jack State and Sam Houston and Western Kentucky this year for sure. And they're going to drop another game. It just too many close wins for Liberty, and their problem has not gotten better. They are not separating themselves from bad football teams. They are playing with their competition every week, and until they play good competition, I don't know what you really think about Liberty, and that's part of the reason that they are Jack State's now favored to beat them in 20 days from today, is because they just have not looked like the same football team as last year. But beyond that, right now we've got Louisiana Tech just pulverizing Middle Tennessee State. Same kind of game going on in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Western is beating UTEP 27-7. Both those games are at halftime or near halftime. So what we expected there, UTEP's an 0-5 football team. We know Western is a good football team. And then the Louisiana Tech Middle Tennessee State game was we finally going to learn a little bit about Middle Tennessee State. Yes, they're 1-4, but like we've said on the podcast before, they're playing a very tough schedule, but they are not playing good against what is a bad Louisiana Tech team. So unfortunately, the Blue Raiders and the Bulldogs looks like two of the lower teams in the conference. And of course, we get both of those teams going forward. Beyond that, off weeks for Sam Houston. So no Bearcat news for this week. And next week, since Jack State has the off week, we'll just give a quick look ahead of that schedule. Big game next week for sure. Liberty gets the off week with Jack State, so neither of those teams are in action. Kennesaw plays Middle Tennessee. La Tech plays New Mexico State. FIU gets UTEP. But Western Kentucky and Sam Houston Wednesday, October 16th, that's in 6 days. That's a big game in this conference. It's probably the biggest conference game so far this year. That game's in Huntsville, Texas. And we're going to learn a lot about both of those teams. Sam Houston at 5-1 gets the off week. Western's at 3-2, but their losses are to Boston College and Alabama. So they've got two pretty good losses on their schedule. So that's going to be a big game for the conference standings going forward. We'll certainly have some thoughts about it. But here in 6 days, it's a big game for the Toppers and the Bearcats. And then beyond that, just Burks, you got anything else?
No, just kind of wanted to talk a little bit about some of these conference games. Conference teams, Liberty. Like you said before we started recording, we think it's a four team race in the conference. But out of those teams, you put Liberty at four, and I don't disagree. Like you said, they should have at least two losses right now. Probably should have lost to Florida International last night. And definitely should have lost to New Mexico State. Yes, that game was in Las Cruces, but New Mexico State led the whole game. the whole game, and then gave it away in the fourth quarter. You know, played a pretty tight one against Western Carolina, and App State is by no means a great team, but you know, again, neither is New Mexico State, or FIU seems to be decent, but neither is New Mexico State. Campbell made it a little bit too close to comfort. You know, they should take care of business against Kennesaw, but the way that everything is trending, I thought Liberty was going to before the season. I thought it was going to be Liberty and then everybody else. And you know, Jack State had the big loss against Coastal, started off 0-3, and I thought, well, we're going to get slacked by Liberty and, you know, probably Western and Sam Houston getting better. But now again, ESPN certainly seems to like us pretty well to favor us in the rest of our schedule. And you know, that Liberty game, I'm liking our odds in Lynchburg more and more and more and more. So far we have of course this game isn't for another 3 weeks, but we have ESPN gives us a 56.7% chance to win. The spread and the over under and everything's not out, but you know, so far we're just statistically we look pretty close, but throwing the ball, Huff's up by about 200 yards over Caden Salter. He's only short of Quentin Cooley by about 45 yards in the rushing game. Both have 6 touchdowns. Him and Salter both have 7 touchdowns. And then Michael Pettway and their leading receiver, Trayon Sibley, they're about neck and neck in leading receiving yards. So I mean, on paper, this looks like they're two very similar teams. And I'm not saying that Liberty's bad by any means, but they're, like you said, they can't keep getting away with this. They're gonna lose one. They're not closing out against bad football teams like we expected them to take care of business against schools like Campbell and East Carolina. And you know, this is a team that went 12-0 and made the Fiesta Bowl last year. Yes, they got slapped by Oregon, but you know, Oregon's Oregon. So I mean, it's just very surprising. I fully, you know, as long as we can stay healthy and you know we continue this trend of, you know, defenses is looking more and more fundamentally sound, in all aspects, getting to the quarterback, stopping the outside run, actually wrapping up, making solid tackles, and of course DBs are getting better and better and better each week too. I don't see where, and you know, Liberty's got an off week, and they play Kennesaw between now and then too, which they should take care of business in that one. I don't want to get looking ahead. We still got to play Middle Tennessee. That game's a dumpster fire for the Blue Raiders, but I like our chances. I'll say that much. I really, really like our chances. I would not be surprised at all if we're about a 7.5 point favorite in the spread.
I agree. If this team finishes at 6-6, I'm extremely disappointed. If they finish at 7-5, I'm a little disappointed. Just because, you know, you've got 6 games left. You know, 3 of them are against good teams, 3 of them are against bad teams. So again, if they, you know, finish 6-6, you've beaten the bad teams, lost the good teams, I think I'm disappointed there. And then if they can, you know, beat, you know, those 3 games, like the big games we talked about, Western, Sam Houston, and Liberty, if they can rattle off 2 of those, they can rattle off 3 of those, I think you're in a really good spot. I mean, this is a team now that is, you know, picked, favored the rest of their games. They're picked to go host a conference championship game. If you can imagine how electric that atmosphere would be in Burgess Snowfield on what I think is going to be a Friday night Conference USA championship game. how electric that atmosphere would be. But that's what this team is capable of doing, is running the table the rest of the year. We think we're going to handle Louisiana Tech, Middle Tennessee, and FIU with no issue. And then you've got, like we've said before, a round robin between us, Liberty, Sam Houston, and Western. And it's just going to be which two teams can come out on top. And I like our chances just as much as anybody else, is much better than Liberty's with the way they've played, like you've said. So just still in shock by the progress the team has made since, you know, week one, two, and three. I think we've talked enough about that to along with the rest of the town. You know, it seems like that's what's on Twitter. I know the group of five guys, if you guys saw that Twitter account, had a little bit to say about us during the game, about how much that they've turned their season around. But it's been a welcome turnaround for sure, one we expected to see, but I don't think we expected this level of play from an 0-3 team in our wildest imaginations, like you said earlier. But once again, we'll wrap it up there. We'll probably come to you guys next week once on the bye week. We'll maybe wrap up some conference action, maybe give you guys a preview of Middle Tennessee State, but nothing. Obviously, no game will be wrapped up there. So you get a shorter episode next week. Beyond that, Brooks, any last final thoughts?
Not that I can think of. Definitely going to be paying attention to that same Houston Western game next week. That's going to be a huge decider in who takes the conference by the reins, or at least at this point in the season. But other than that, great win, especially, you know, to do it in as short a time as we had to prepare for it. It was great, great win, dominating win. And I think, you can keep building on this. So the schedule is very favorable until, even against Liberty, the schedule is very, very favorable leading up to that same Houston game on November 23rd. So this is a rejuvenated, reborn football team, and I can't wait to see where we go. Other than that, we'll do a quickie episode next week, and we'll see y'all then. See you.